A prominent civil rights attorney filing a new lawsuit against Raleigh officers who used a stun gun on a man six times before dying in their custody.
This lawsuit is about freedom, equality, and justice.
New in the last few hours, what Ben Crump is sharing about the new lawsuit.
Don't pack up your jackets just yet. I'll show you where temperatures are tumbling and who could drop below freezing.
Then, the voice of the Wolfpack hanging up the mic after three decades. Our one-on-one with him about the championship win he never thought he'd broadcast. The city of Raleigh faces a wrongful death lawsuit tonight filed by the family of this man, Darrell Williams. Really, who can forget his story? Williams died last year after police repeatedly used a taser on him outside a sweepstakes parlor. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. So Wake County's district attorney, you may remember, declined to file criminal charges, saying that the officers didn't break any laws. So Williams' family and their attorney, Ben Crump, has decided to take this case to civil court. WRL's Aaron Thomas was there for the announcement today. Aaron.
Yeah, Dan, right now I'm standing in the parking lot right off of Rock Quarry Road where that altercation took place between Darrell Williams as well as Raleigh police. There were some discrepancies between what we're hearing. So in the city's report, Raleigh police initially said that they used the stun gun or taser on Darrell Williams about three times, but this lawsuit is claiming six times, three while he was physically restrained, the other three times while he was in handcuffs.
Packing the pulpit with a purpose. The family of Darrell Williams stood alongside civil rights attorney Ben Crump, who today announced a wrongful death lawsuit on their behalf at Mount Peace Baptist Church.
This lawsuit is about freedom, equality, and justice in the Constitution of all American citizens.
During a news conference, Crump took strong aim at the officers who shocked Williams with the taser, stating those involved showed no humanity. RPD previously released body camera video from January 2023. It shows Williams trying to get away from officers while they tried to take him into custody after they suspected Williams had alcohol and marijuana in the car and asked to search it. More video shows officers gathered around Williams while he's on the ground. Williams yelled to police that he had a heart condition, and officers used the taser on him again after that. An autopsy lists the use of a taser as a factor in his death, as well as cocaine intoxication and physical exertion. I asked Attorney Crump about how this plays into what unfolded.
What are your thoughts about cocaine use and physical exertion contributing to the death of Darrell Williams?
There are so many people in the city of Raleigh that use substance abuse. Does that mean that's justified for the police using a taser, using excessive force and killing them? It's a red herring, it's a cause of distraction.
Now, Wake County District Attorney Lauren Freeman did review this case, and she decided not to press any criminal charges against the officers involved. Dan?
As far as the police department, Aaron, have you spoken to them? What's RPD saying about this?
So we have reached out to Raleigh Police Department. We are told that they don't usually comment on litigation. This federal lawsuit does list five officers, as well as Chief Estella Patterson, as defendants in this lawsuit. The only thing that Raleigh Police are telling us at this point is that the five officers involved, they are still currently employed at this time.
Got it. Dan? All right. We will stay on top of it. Aaron Thomas, live for us in Raleigh. Thank you, Aaron.
Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson and top Republican state lawmakers want to know how a man they say is on the federal terrorist watch list ended up in eastern North Carolina. WRL's Matt Tallhelm found out why they think the arrest is tied to illegal immigration and what they want President Biden to do about it.
Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson sent this letter to President Biden at the White House. It's also signed by House Speaker Tim Moore and Senate Leader Phil Berger. It has a whole long list of questions they have here about this arrest, the terrorist watch list, and what's being done here in North Carolina.
The federal government has refused to give answers.
The lieutenant governor stood next to the arrest photo of a wet Hagos to raise questions about the case and to criticize the president's immigration policies. The sheriff in Gates County says Hagos is from Africa and is on the federal terrorist watch list. That database is kept secret, so we can't access it to verify those claims. Hagos was arrested on charges unrelated to terrorism after a standoff with sheriff's deputies a week ago.
At what point between then and now did this become an urgent public safety threat? And have you spoken to the governor or state law enforcement about this?
It was urgent from the very beginning when it was brought to our radar. That's why we contacted the sheriff immediately to let ask him what we could do to heighten folks' awareness and to let him know that we were there for his office to give him any assistance.
Robinson says there needs to be better transparency and communication from the federal government on immigration issues. He brought up questions about a new facility in Greensboro for unaccompanied migrant children. Robinson was asked if he supports the bipartisan immigration bill, which failed after former President Donald Trump urged Republicans in Congress to vote against it.
Looking at the bill as it stands right now, I would not say that I support it fully, and I wouldn't say that I don't support the bill fully.
Robinson, of course, is the Republican nominee for governor, and Republicans have made immigration a big issue in the upcoming elections. In fact, according to a recent WRL News poll, immigration is the most important issue for Republican voters here in North Carolina. Matt Tallhelm, WRL News, Raleigh.
We asked Robinson's Democratic opponent in the governor's race about this. Josh Stein's statement reads in part, "This case illustrates the gravity of what law enforcement does. There should be a thorough investigation backed by both federal and state resources to keep North Carolinians safe."
Tomorrow is the first day of spring, though it's not going to feel much like it. There was a freeze warning in two of our area counties tonight, so keep that in mind. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRL Severe Weather Center. It's not going to last too long, fortunately.
We're going to be right back in the 70s by Wednesday, but overall this week looks cooler, and we've got a lot of lows in the 30s and 40s, particularly tonight, Moore County and Lee County under a freeze warning from midnight to 9 a.m., but I circled the area in the black dashed line here that I think is most likely to see freezing temperatures. However, not everybody's included in the freeze warning because the growing season has not yet begun for the triangle in our northern counties here in blue, so the only counties that would be considered for the freeze warning is where we have the growing season already has begun there. Looking ahead, though, tonight, I don't think we're going to see a frost. That's the good news. It's just too windy for that. But let's take a town-by-town look at the lows. 29 in Roxboro, 32 South Hill, 33 in Durham, 36 in Fayetteville, 34 in Raleigh. I'll let you know the wind chill forecast coming up in a few minutes.
Talk to you then. Thanks, Kat.
The North Carolina lawmaker, famous for his presence on TikTok, was among those who voted to potentially ban it. Now, Democratic Congressman Jeff Jackson is walking back his decision, posting an apology on, you guessed it, TikTok. He also offered an explanation.
I like this app. I've been able to reach a lot of people and hear directly from them, and it's been great. I'm also in Congress, and I've been a part of some briefings about this app that were genuinely alarming. When I was reading the bill, the part I agreed with was the part that tries to force a sale, because I figured this would just be a better app if we didn't have to worry about the stuff that comes with it being potentially controlled by an adversarial government. The part I didn't like was the part that threatens a ban.
Jackson doesn't believe a ban will actually happen. I spoke to Congressman Jackson about TikTok back in December. He said he was in favor of reforming how the app operates in the U.S., but had no plans to stop using it.
And as a member of Congress, I would be in favor of a lot of different reforms to help improve that situation. But as long as it exists, I'm going to use it for good, and I'm going to use it to keep my constituents posted.
Now, because it is banned on state-issued devices, will you stop using it if elected, particularly TikTok?
Oh, it's banned on federal devices as well. I don't use it on a federal device. I would not use it on a state device.
It is worth noting Jackson's opponent in the race for North Carolina Attorney General also is currently a U.S. Congressman, Republican Dan Bishop. He voted against the bill that would ban TikTok.
Two people in Clinton are finally back in their homes. So that's Arthur, he's 88 years old, and Alice, who's 92. Both of them lost their homes in Hurricanes Matthew and Florence. Damage so bad that repairs weren't really an option to their properties. Years later, they both have new homes built by Habitat for Humanity, but it has been a long few years. WRL's Gilbert Bays was there for the moment they went inside.
Well, Arthur Mathis has been waiting for this day for years. His friends call him Smiley, and his home gives him an awful lot to smile about.
They gathered on the front porch of this home on Phillips Street in Clinton to say a prayer.
God, we ask that you keep us in your will and out of your way.
This just isn't any home. It's the one that's replaced 89-year-old Arthur Mathis's home that was damaged by both Hurricanes Matthew and Florence. After getting a Bible and having Old Glory posted on his porch, Mathis got his key to his new home. He couldn't wait to take a tour. Mathis is blind, but says it has the smell of a new home, one that he can see and feel in his heart.
And I feel so good today. If I only could see it, I would still blessed to be here.
Around the corner on Stetson Street, 92-year-old Alice Spell's home was torn down and rebuilt. Spell says she's been trying for years to get help from the storms that damaged her home.
I remember so much. I tried to get help 4 or 5 times. They turned me down. I couldn't get it, so God moved in a mysterious way.
The Fayetteville Area Habitat for Humanity wanted to repair both homes, but the damage from the hurricanes was so severe, they decided to tear them down and build new ones.
And when we have families like this that's been impacted by the hurricanes, and the damage is so significant that it doesn't make for a healthy living, we're just super excited that we're able to partner with, you know, the OSBM from out of Raleigh in order to get families back into their homes safely.
It's taken years to get smiles on the faces of these homeowners. Experts say part of the ongoing delay in providing relief to hurricane victims is the storms came just about back to back, and the COVID pandemic slowed the process even more. So today, two Habitat families got new homes, but there are still literally hundreds of thousands of victims of Hurricane Florence and Matthews who are waiting to get their keys. In Clinton, Gilbert Bays, WRAL News.
So meaningful to see the smiles on their faces. After NC State's red-hot run to its first ACC championship title in nearly 40 years, we hear from the man who's been calling games for the team for at least 30 of those years. Up next, our interview with the voice of the pack, Gary Hahn, his reaction to this weekend and what he expects for this week and the years ahead. What a weekend it was for the NC State Wolfpack. An ACC win for the men, their first since 1987. Enough to punch their ticket to the NCAA tournament. You know, one man has seen every Wolfpack game since 1991. This will be Gary Hahn's final season as the voice of the Wolfpack. Earlier today, I spoke with him as the team prepares to keep their dream alive. Tell me how you are doing after Saturday's victory game.
Well, I was really celebrating. Yes, it was an incredible run by the Pack this week. It was a miracle run. And to be able to call an ACC championship game where NC State was in it and they won was something that I didn't think was going to happen in my career. I'm retiring at the end of this season, and it hadn't happened up to this point. So, for that to happen, it was very special. I had tons of people come up to me during the week and say very kind things. And it was just a magical week. It was unforgettable, I guess is the best word for it.
Looking back over the years and decades, really, how would you say that NC State's basketball or even just college basketball has evolved over those decades?
Well, I think there have been a lot of changes. I think the three-point shot has been a big one, and more teams are focused on that. You don't want to trade twos for threes, so the three-point shots become big. There's a lot of ball screen action now that you didn't used to have. You used to throw it into the post, play inside out with a back-to-the-basket post player, and you don't see those many of them anymore. DJ Burns for NC State is one of them. And he may be only one of a handful in the entire country. So that's one of the big changes. And, you know, you just got to accept change. That's one thing. Everything is always going to change. You've got to be able to accept it.
Looking ahead at college basketball, you know, when we think about NIL, we think about the trade rules or transfer rules. How do you see basketball, college basketball changing?
Well, I don't know. I'm not in favor of a lot of those. I'm not going to get into, you know, my personal opinions because, I mean, who cares? I'm just a radio announcer. But to me, college athletics has turned from a we game to a me game. But, you know, I don't know what the future is going to hold. I really don't. I don't know whether there's going to be an Atlantic Coast Conference in 10 years. I really don't know because everything is so money driven now. And that's the big thing. You know, you got to have more money, more money, more money. But I'll tell you one thing. And as this is my personal opinion, I'm glad I'm not starting my career. I'm glad I'm right at the end.
I really hope that NC State makes it far into the NCAA tournament. If this week's game is the last game that you call, is there anything special that you intend to do in that we can expect?
Yeah, I intend to, before I go off the air, I've got to thank a whole bunch of folks. And I'm going to spend about 2 minutes, probably 2 or 3 minutes doing that. And that's how I'm going to leave. I'm going to thank everybody, from the fans to my teammates. I've had an incredible broadcast team around me. I think I'm pretty much an average announcer that's got a great support cast around me. I'm just thankful. And that's how I want to spend my last couple of minutes on the air.
That's really wonderful. Thank you so much for spending time with us. And let me just say, you have an open invitation to, once if you ever get the itch to get back on the air, you've got an open invitation to come join us here at 7 o'clock.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've got a face for radio, so I don't think I'd be too good at television.
That's not true at all. Thank you again. All the best. Have fun on Thursday.
Okay, Ashley, it's been all great being with you.
You as well. Take care. Bye-bye.
What a face for radio.
No,
what
not
a run.
At all.
Here, how about this? These are faces made for the television screen, rooting for the Wolfpack win, kind of. It's a cat in a cheerleading outfit. These are Cat Campbell's adorable pets, decked out in NC State colors. Needless to say, Cat is excited.
Mm-hmm.
Look at
I've
what,
got him going
look
all
the
way
right now.
In the
it.
Tournament. I have him going all the way.
You think they're going to continue this run?
Yes, I do. I got him all the way. I have UNC with one win and Duke too. I'll give him credit there. But it was a good weekend, needless to say, out there. My sister's a vet. She was there helping with the cat situation.
Nice.
So, you know.
Well-behaved animals.
It was impressive.
Good
I think
job.
He's just grown up with dogs around, I guess. Well, I've got good news for a lot of spring lovers. Spring starts tomorrow. The Equinox, 11:06. Here's the issue with that. We're going to see a big drop in temperatures for the start of spring. It's not going to last very long, though. Grab your jacket. In the morning, wind chills could start out in the 20s. We've got a northwest wind around 10 miles per hour. It'll pick up a little bit closer to 10 to 15 miles per hour later in the day. But the temperature, 34 at 6 and 7 a.m., 37 at 9 a.m. The good news about the wind is that it should help prevent frost development. The bad news is, of course, the wind chill there. 58's our high tomorrow, the normal high this time of year, 64, but we bounce back to 72 on Wednesday. That comes with sunshine. Wednesday is your day to make outdoor plans. Should be beautiful. Thursday doesn't look too bad either, but temperatures drop again. And then once we get into the weekend, highs hover near 60, but there is a chance we could see Friday trend even cooler than this, depending on how early the rain arrives on Friday. Notice the snow to our northwest. We've got a weak disturbance that's going to move through the area tonight, and that could generate an isolated sprinkle. The issue here is the air is so dry at the surface. Dew points in the teens and 20s, so it'll have a hard time reaching the ground. But you can see a few of those sprinkles to our south and west right now. Futurecast has been consistent about bringing a few of those sprinkles closer between about 9 p.m. and midnight. It would be very low impact. Just want to let you know if you do run into a quick sprinkle tonight. It's that upper level energy swinging through the area. We clear out by tomorrow morning. You'll be waking up to sunshine and a brisk northwest wind to start your Tuesday and to start your spring. 57 in Durham tonight. You can see a beautiful sunset there at the DBAP, just a couple of weeks away from Bulls being back for baseball season. 57 at Dix Park in Raleigh right now, and 60 in Fayetteville, where we've got more lingering clouds. 29 is our forecast low in Roxboro, 33 in Durham, 32 Lewisburg and Roanoke Rapids, as well as South Hill, 35 in Wilson, 31 Siler City, 31 in Sanford, 36 in Fayetteville, and 35 in Smithfield. This is not likely to be hard for you tonight. If you have sensitive plants, make sure you cover them up and that they're well covered with the wind picking up overnight. But I think for a lot of us closer to Raleigh, this isn't going to be a hard freeze for us, which is good news. It's for more sensitive vegetation. 58 tomorrow to kick off spring. We bump up to 72 by Wednesday, and then comes the temperature drop closer to the weekend. We'll see lows in the 40s and 30s for the next 7 days. So it's definitely not looking anything like last week's forecast, but we have a couple pretty nice days mixed in. There.
Sounds good. Thank you, Kat.
Are you stressed about taxes yet? The deadline is just a month away.
Up next, how WREL is going to get your tax questions answered and for free. Two big economic announcements for Eastern North Carolina today. First, an $85 million investment from the Crump Group. That's a Canadian manufacturer of pet treats. They're expanding their operation in Nash County. In Wilson, it's a $371 million from biopharma device manufacturer called Schott Pharma. The company will build a new facility and create about 400 new jobs. We are about a month away from tax day. If you have some questions, you can get them answered next week for free. WREL and Five on Your Side are partnering with a North Carolina Society of Enrolled Agents for Tax Pros on Call. Federally licensed tax pros will take your calls and answer your questions. Again, it's free. Tax Pros on Call is tomorrow from 4 until 7 p.m.
Our area's college basketball teams have a shot at a national championship. The men's and women's teams from Duke, UNC, and NC State all getting ready for the first round. There's one team that's already in the Sweet 16. That's the Fayetteville State women's team. They beat Indiana, Pennsylvania, and then second-seeded Fairmont State over the weekend. The Broncos take on one-seeded Gannon tomorrow at 5 p.m. We will be rooting for you. And here is another gal we are rooting for. You know her, Charlotte the Stingray at the Aquarium and Shark Lab in Hendersonville. She's the one that got pregnant, potentially all by herself. She hasn't given birth yet, but she's got some ideas for a baby shower. The Aquarium posted a link to Charlotte's Amazon wish list. It includes tank filters, algae scrapers, Visa gift cards, a can of worms, and vitamin supplements. That, you know, there's a registry for everything.
I just can't wait to see what this baby looks like. Hey, thanks for being with us tonight.
Good night.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.